Welcome to MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui, your expert host on all things medical marketing and SEO.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of MedShark's Insider, where I interview some of the industry's leaders and leading edge services, technologies. And today I've got a really big treat for everybody. I've been attending meetings and, you know, online, and everybody obviously is overwhelmed largely with a lot of the AI things that are going on, and practices wondering what they need to do as far as, you know, whether it's AI searches on, you know, Google Overviews or ChatGPT or live chat and all these other ways of leveraging AI. Today, I've got somebody that I stumbled onto at a recent meeting who's kind of opened my eyes. He is Ben Wolper. He's the founder of and CEO of InsightX. And he's got some really cutting edge information to share with you guys today on how to better leverage AI, not just from a outsider getting, you know, washed over by all this AI stuff, but how do you leverage AI within your practice, really, and leverage that to help you make better decisions, to help you do things. So before I go too much further, welcome, Ben. I appreciate you joining the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, so do me a favor, and I know a little bit about you, but share a little bit of your background with our audience today.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in healthcare data now for a few years, originally on the revenue cycle side. So mostly working with like large hospitals and large health systems in that sense, and also have some FP&A experience. And really what I kept seeing were, even on the hospital side, they were drowning in data, but not actually using any of it. So I'm also, like I said, I'm a former analyst, so I naturally obsessed with understanding what's actually driving performance and not just building fancy dashboards. So really, long story short, is I launched InsightX to bring enterprise level analytics to the med spa and aesthetics practices and clinics that don't have a full blown data team.
Okay. You know, when you're saying a full blown data team, you know, there's a, you know, when we first met, we discussed, you know, this gap that practices have in terms of not only collecting data, right? A lot of, as a marketer, I'm always looking for, hey, give us some, you know, more information. How can we identify patients, what they're doing, and how many convert, and follow them all the way to revenue, and all those kinds of things as a marketer? But there's so much data that is already there that practices don't even have to, quote, manufacture, that can still be leveraged. So we talked about that. But how do you help guide practices to become, an expert, like you said, a data expert of their own numbers? A practice owner, how can I be an expert in my own numbers?
Yeah. I mean, you really hit the nail on the head earlier where you're like, they have a ton of data. So a lot of practices obviously collect data. They just don't know what that data means. And what I always say is this industry doesn't have a data problem. It's almost data overload. Like it's very fragmented, as you're well aware. And where we help is like we pull in the data automatically, we clean it and then organize it. We can also apply benchmarking. And then we're essentially translating it into here's what you do next. So instead of like, hey, your conversion rate is 24%, we say, is that good or bad? How does that compare to similar practices? And what actions could you as the owner take to drive improvement? We're really just turning data into decisions in that sense.
Interesting. So the data that's being collected, how do you go about collecting that data?
Yeah, so it's through API connections. So essentially, when we onboard, like let's say a single location med spa, we just collect all the data sources that they're using in their data. And we have most of these integrations built out today. Now, if there's a new integration, I know these new tech solutions are coming up all over the place in the industry. we're happy to build that out free of charge as well.
Okay. So when we're saying, you know, the practices data, you're referring mainly to like EMRs, those types of platforms, or
yes,
patient management software, that type of stuff?
Yeah. So think like your Nextech, Zenodes in that space, your accounting software. So QuickBooks, Xero, most industry uses QuickBooks. Then your marketing platform. So like Google Analytics, Google Ads, Meta Ads, those sorts of things. We can also connect your socials if you want to. And then also like one of the final pieces we usually connect with is like the HR system. The most popular one's Gusto. That's one that we can integrate with as well. So
interesting. My son-in-law actually works for Gusto here in
the Denver area.
Nice. And they are just completely blowing up, man.
I mean, we even use them for our HR.
Oh, so. You do? Okay. I'll let him know that. Yeah. But you know, you mentioned all these different platforms like Google Analytics, looking at the EMR data and how you're able to, I just find this fascinating that you can actually extrapolate with the data from different sources. You're pulling in data from multiple different places, right?
Yeah.
And synthesizing that, how do you identify, what I would ask is, there, with so much information, are there like three or four areas where you see practices benefiting most by this deeper data analysis and management?
Yeah. I mean, definitely the big ones we see. So like a great one is marketing ROI, which campaigns are actually bringing in revenue, not just clicks. Another area that we see is patient retention. So like how often are the patients coming back and how much do they spend over 12 months, 2 years, however long that lifetime value is. Mm-hmm. And then provider performance. So like which injectors or providers are driving revenue versus their appointment time. And you can also tie in some utilization there as well. And then treatment mix plus the pricing. So like, are you pricing properly relative to demand and margins, or are you just like guessing at what you should price? So basically just grow the right things, not just grow more, if that makes sense.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense. In fact, practices, when I ask them, you know, what are their, you know, profit centers, right? When we're looking at high priority practice areas, services, products that we need to be spending money marketing, a lot of them don't really know. And when they do guess, they're just looking at, you know, high level, this is how much we sold of this, right? They're not looking at really the profitability, not necessarily the gross revenue, but the profitability of those, you know, products, services, and mixes. And in terms of pricing, do you typically see, I see that a lot. I see practices really not knowing how to price things.
Yeah. That's something we've seen. And that's like a big interest from like people utilizing our software today is like, well, did you just come up with your prices based on what Ben's Med Spa up the street is doing?
That's exactly what they actually do in most cases, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You could shop to all these other practices and ask how much something costs, right? And then they gotta base their price on that.
Yeah. And like that ties back into like, who is your ideal patient? Like, the pricing can like fall into that bucket as well, where like, hey, Ben's Med Spa might have a different clientele than Bill's Med Spa. Like you doing that secret shopping there and coming up with that pricing strategy based on what I'm pricing my services, where we might have a different clientele. I know there's like a norm, like there's like a very consistent ideal patient profile, but it is very dependent. Like even med spas in the Cincinnati area might have different ideal patients that are coming in. Like some might be younger, some might be older. They're going to be spending different levels there. So you need to adjust your pricing to capture that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. In fact, when we're looking at pricing, you also mentioned things like marketing ROI and patient retention, those types of things, right? Mm-hmm. The information that you're able to share with clients in their practice Obviously, it's going to vary in terms of the kind of practices that we have, right? The difference between, say, a med spa practice and, say, one that's more like lower volume, but high margins, high profit, like a plastic surgeon, right?
Yeah.
So plastic surgeon, they probably don't get a lot of retention because once they get a patient, they have the surgery done, there's probably not, unless they have that med spa component onto it, into their practice, they're really not, you know, focused on a lot of the retention. How do you, in those, when you're working with practices, how do you work with them to determine what kind of data is going to make the most difference to that particular practice or location, et cetera?
Yeah, no, I'll give you a really simple example. So again, when you're going into these solo location, like one or two location med spas, you can ask like, hey, like what is, I always go back to this ideal patient profile. That's something that we always harp on in this space. It's like, who is your ideal customer? And what you're able to do within our platform now is like, we quickly, in like within seconds, surface that for you. So it's like, hey, here's the average age range. Here's their services that they most frequently buy. Here's their visit frequency. Here's their zip codes. Like, it gives you a ton of information. And then that, again, going back to the marketing ROI, that's a self-serve marketing strategy right there. It's like, well, hey, we can run a campaign on this based on these specific metrics. Like, hey, here's what the patient's like their average spend is. Here's their like, here's the annual revenue that we've gotten from these specific patient groups. So, we've seen a ton of use cases in that sense. Because again, in some cases, marketing is sometimes looked at as an expense, but it also needs to be looked at as an art. Like, you need to understand, like, it needs to be an investment in most cases.
It's an investment. You know, I find that fascinating because especially with the data that you're able to collect with not just what is kind of esoteric that information or my perceptions or what I think, right? Using your own patient's data to determine the profiling. Now, when say, for example, you're running ads on, say, Facebook and you're wanting to develop these lookalike audiences, right?
Yeah.
That was one of the things that they were always nervous about is Facebook getting information about our patients and stuff like that, patient privacy. This is a way of profiling your patients without then getting access to it, right? We can set up like audiences without, you know, compromising our data
in order
to set up types of campaigns.
Yeah. And the nice thing about like generative AI in general, not just like within our platform, is each user experience is different because like as you're using like the AI function more, it's starting to interpret how you're thinking about things, how you're talking. Like when I use ChatGPT to write an email, it sounds almost identical to what I would sound like now of like if I wrote it from scratch. And that's just like continuous use cases. And like, again, very simple example, but the AI is almost like learning with you in a sense. And that's that generative piece that I talked about.
Interesting. The other thing that you mentioned, and I thought you mentioned provider or the coordinator, like who's ever treating the patient, right? Their performance. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you gauge you know, like, We all know that in certain practices, there are high performers and lower performers. But it's always, you know, if you're going to address somebody, you can't hide from data, right?
Yeah.
It arms the administrator or the doctor with data that says, hey, we need to pick it up here, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
So what does that look like? Give me an idea.
It's that simple calculation where, hey, here's what we paid Ben this month. Here's their gross sales. That's an efficiency metric that it's data. Like you said, you can't fudge those numbers in that sense. And like tracking metrics like that, has been able, like as the practice owner, it's like now it's like, well, hey, I have five injectors. Here's their efficiencies. Here's their utilizations. And we can also track burnout. Like, hey, we don't want all these providers at 100% utilization. We would maybe want it closer to 85%, 80%, whatever that is. Yeah. So you can track burnout that way. But then if they're at that much capacity, it could also be a scheduling bottleneck. Like, hey, can we spread these appointments out? Like, why is Ben's book back to back every Tuesday? Like, and he's in there Monday through Wednesday, let's say. So I always think of it as like a spider web of all these different areas of the practice. They're all like intertwined. And once you start, like you mentioned before, peeling back the onion and looking under these places, you start being able to tie it back into just different areas of your practice.
Great. You know, the other thing that, you know, when I was just thinking, when I mentioned lookalike audiences and stuff like that, and patient information, patient data, I am going to tell you that most of the practice providers, they are frozen by indecision many times when it comes to AI.
Yeah.
They're scared of it. They're nervous about being a medical practice. AI is so different than, say, if I'm, you know, selling motorcycles, right? It's a completely different thing. So being in the medical space, patient information, HIPAA, they're hate to say it, they're intimidated and scared by it, right?
Yeah.
And they're frozen by indecision, and they don't do anything because of it, right?
Yeah.
Anything that has to do with HIPAA, they're just, no, I'm just not going to do it because of HIPAA. I almost feel like that's a cop-out sometimes, right? Because they don't want to embrace it, because it's the catch-all excuse for everything, right? How do you deal with, you know, AI data management, patient information, as it relates to a medical practice and HIPAA, so that practices can feel like, you know, I can do this?
Yeah. I mean, us as a company, InsideX, we follow all the HIPAA guidelines in terms of data usage, like logins, two-factor authentications, everything like that. We are HIPAA compliant software end-to-end. We have end-to-end encryption, our chatbots, HIPAA compliant, everything like that. But to circle back to your point at the beginning of the question of like, owners are essentially not scared of AI, but you really need to like bite it off in chunks. Like AI, like you mentioned, is such a hot commodity in this space right now. It's almost overwhelming. Like I'm even overwhelmed, and I'm a data guy sometimes where I'm seeing all these different AI solutions. And it's like, oh my, like, I don't even know where to begin. So like, what we always recommend, and this ties back into some of our onboarding processes as well, it's like, you need to take it as baby steps. Like, let's start with one data source. Let's start with this. Like, chunk it off and look at areas in your practice that you need to look at, and basically walk before you run. That's what we always kind of recommend. Because again, AI always changing. There's always new tools coming out. But to answer your question about the HIPAA piece, both are honestly concerns. Like HIPAA does matter, and you need partners who are compliant. And what happens is people hear AI and they instantly think that PHI is being blasted all over the internet. Like you don't know where the data is going, which in most cases, that is not the case. Now, there are LLMs out there that are not HIPAA compliant. So as a practice owner, you should not upload your PHI to that. I wouldn't even recommend uploading like your QuickBooks information or anything like that.
Yeah, I'd be nervous.
Yeah. And we tell practices, like if you're using a HIPAA compliant AI tool and you're storing the data correctly, you're 100% fine. And most of the fear is really just fear of, like you mentioned before, is just doing something new. Like analytics in this industry is a brand new spend category for most people. And that's just like the shift in this market, which is, it's an exciting time for us, but there is like behavior shifts and everything like that. They need to coach some of these owners and practice owners to kind of move in that direction.
Okay. Hey, a question, and this kind of goes back to one of your other things, and I had this, and I forgot to ask it. We talked about, you know, website or data that you're able to collect from Google Analytics. You mentioned Google Analytics. Do you also pull in data from other third-party, platforms like FreshPaint or some of those, simply because of there is a concern with practices that Google Analytics, I mean, Google's come out and said it's not HIPAA compliant.
Yeah.
Google Analytics. So are you able to pull in data from other third-party sources other than, you know, from website, you know, user sessions and all those kinds of things?
Yeah, as long as there's an open API, like I mentioned before, where we have the ability to set one up. Like if we don't have that integration built today, we have the ability to build it out upon request. And again, going back to like that walk before you run, like you always have to like start with, and again, most cases, the EMR is their source of truth. So we've seen a ton of like great use cases where people are just using their EMR. They just plugged into their EMR, but then they quickly pull in their QuickBooks. And like, that's like a very easy next step. And it is a process, because like, you don't want to plug in all 12 or however many data sources that you're using in your data at once, because it'll go back to that data overload point I met. It's like, you won't know where to begin because there'll be so much information thrown at you.
Right.
You'll just be going down rabbit holes that actually might not make a ton of sense to go down at that time.
Right. Right. No, I think that makes a lot of sense. Mainly because I think that you fall into the same trap, right? Now all of a sudden it's let's focus on the 80-20. What 20% what can we do that's gonna move the needle 80%, right?
Yeah.
Let's focus on that 20% and not necessarily, you know, try and, you know, drink from a fire hose.
Yeah.
Super. Hey, one other thing before we kind of go to the next area is when we're talking about practices, you know, how we can get faster analysis, you know, time, cost savings, all those kinds of things. What would you say in terms of what you guys do? Are you seeing where the single biggest gap?
Yep.
If there is a single gap, if you can do this, this would apply to, this would be one of the 20, you know, that 80-20, this would be part of that 20. Is there one that you consistently see across almost every practice that you run across?
Yeah, I would say, again, like you mentioned before, very case by case, depending what that specific practice's initiatives are. But some very common buckets is like your revenue metrics. Mm-hmm. Like everyone wants to make more money at the end of the day. Sure. So tracking your revenue metrics, because again, that sounds very broad, but there's a lot that can roll up into that. So it's like, hey, like, because I was looking at my revenue per hour by this provider, we actually thought about, it's like, hey, there's a schedule bottleneck here. Let's actually spread them out and lower their utilization and then give them more time to do X, Y, and Z, like whatever that example is. Mm-hmm. It's now like, hey, you're paying them less in a sense, if like sometimes they're working less, paying them less, that lowers your cost. That's more profit at the end of the day. So, hey, more money in your pocket. I would say that's a long-winded answer, but it's like, hey, revenue, patient metrics, that's another like consistent one that people always want more insight into. But then again, ties back to revenue, gross sales. And then again, a third area would be like that utilization aspect. So, because again, you can slice the utilization a couple different ways. It could be schedule utilization. It could be like, hey, provider by service utilization. Like how many of these services are we selling on a weekly basis or something like that? But again, ties back to like revenue, because everyone, I mean, and businesses in general, everyone wants to make more money. So, you know, I would say revenue to answer.
Gotcha. And I will say when you're saying, how can we do this type of work without having to hire somebody that really is an expert in this?
Yeah.
I mean, the cost to hire somebody to do this in a practice, it's beyond their financial capabilities. They can't do it. They've got to spend more, you know, they don't have the excess, you know, capital to have a position like that. So basically it just goes untapped, right?
Yeah,
just untapped.
Exactly.
So one thing that you had mentioned earlier was that you also, and I didn't realize you did, you guys do a chat service. Mm-hmm. You incorporate chat. So how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I'll compare it to like a ChatGPT, but it's a very secure way for the end user to chat with their data. So we call it Ava. That's our AI analyst on our platform. And you can literally come in and be like, hey, what happened at Ben's location in Cincinnati last week? And Ava will give you a strategic summary about what happened based on like key KPIs, let's say, in that sense. Because again, tying back to that generative AI piece, it's always continuously learning what you're constantly asking questions about. So we have the ability now to start seeing some of that questions come through relatively straightforward.
Interesting. So this is not just, hey, typing everything in. You can actually just do a...
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, you can ask like pretty broad questions and get some pretty interesting answers. Like we've sat in on with clients as they're like typing and just to like kind of like see what they're asking. Cause again, early stages we were collecting feedback from. So we were seeing what they were typing and like you could ask like very, very broad questions and you'd be pretty surprised at like the answer you get. Cause like most of them, like again, AI, sometimes you have to take with a grain of salt, but like most of them make a ton of sense. And like, if you keep chatting with it, it just continues to get better and evolve. So.
Yeah, no, that I love the idea of being able to, for you to sit in on, you know, so that practices can kind of, I think people are getting used to, it's almost like learning how to chat. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Almost like, what kind of questions can I ask? You know,
it's
amazing. All of a sudden you're trying different things and you're learning, oh my goodness, I can.
Yeah.
It almost blows you away.
And your point there just reminded me is like, there is like a level, there's like a connotation in the market where it's like, oh, I need to be an expert AI prompter to get value out of AI. Like that is so far from the truth because again, if you're struggling with prompting, there's free tools out there and there's some paid ones that will help you actually prompt AI. Like there's like pre-written, like you can click on the subject, like marketing. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to like click through it and it gives you a very sample prompt. So if like that's something you struggle with, there's resources out there as well. But, I would say the fear of like being able to prompt AI or having to be an AI prompt expert, I would say that you don't need to do that. And we've heard that in the space as well. It's like, well, I'm not an AI prompt expert, so I don't know if I'm going to get a ton of value from the chatbot.
That's my concern is practices, especially older school, practitioners like me, right? We're a little intimidated by it. So the interface has to be so, dummied down a little bit so that not, hey, I can get more comfortable. And next thing you know, I'm doing this all a lot of my free time. I'm learning more about my business than I ever knew. I think that's kind of the light bulb that goes off. And that's kind of the, not only just from a profitability, I think practitioners emotionally get excited about this because they can see their business from a different perspective than they've ever seen it before.
Yeah. Right? I mean, any no code solution, it's almost fun for the end user. Like I describe it as fun. Like we've seen current customers of ours, they're almost having fun because it's so simple to chat with your data in our platform and they're getting a ton of value out of it. And then even like once they leave our platform, they go back to the EMR to do like some sort of analysis. It's very like pointed, like, hey, I need to go here. I don't need to go dig around in these reports, pull a bunch of stuff into Excel, try to figure out what I'm looking for. It's like, you already know what you're looking for. So you're now like, hey, I'm going to go into my EMR and pull this out. Or, hey, I'm going to go into QuickBooks, pull this report. Like I know exactly where to go. And it almost answers it for you.
You know, and the other thing too is you'll learn about things, maybe even gaps in your data. Maybe we need to start collecting this data, because it's showing that it doesn't have access to that. hey, would that be really helpful? Yeah, it would be.
Right? Yeah. Well, and sorry to interrupt that to that point. It's like it ties back to our data cleaning portion where it's like garbage in, garbage out. That's a fear of any data visualization tool. So now we have the ability to flag the anomalies where it's like, hey, like this number doesn't look right. Like your revenue per hour is $1 million. Like probably there's probably a data issue in a sense. So like now if like, even if I'm a bookkeeper, like let's say I'm a bookkeeper and we flag an anomaly in QuickBooks, I know where to go now to fix it. It's like, oh, hey, I know where to look. Hey, oh, hey, I keyed in too many zeros in or whatever the issue was. With AI, you're able to solve that. So again, it just goes back to like having trust in your data. And like, I know another like area of concern is that data accuracy portion.
Okay, super. Hey, we can talk about this stuff all day, right?
Yeah.
But before we get to the end of the program, I just want to make sure, because I'm still a neophyte when it comes to AI and all the things that we could be or should be doing within our practices, whether it's marketing or from an operation standpoint. Is there anything you would like to, that I may not have asked the right question, or is there something you feel like we need to drive home with our audience today that's going to be important or that they should walk away with?
Yeah, I mean, really, if I could leave you all or like practices with one thing, it would be you don't need more data. You need better visibility and faster action. Really, the practices winning right now are the ones using data weekly, daily, not quarterly, not biannually. They're using it every day, making decisions based off their data every day. So those are the ones that are winning in today's market.
You know, I think once practices start getting into the habit of doing more of that, they will look at their practice so differently. I mean, I would. I'm fascinated by this. So do me a favor for our audience today. How can they get a demo from you? How can they contact you, get more information? I really want people to look into this because it will change how you run your practice.
Yeah. Very easy. You can either go to our website, InsideX or insight-x.io. You can find me on LinkedIn. And if anyone wants a live walkthrough, I would say the easiest way is to book a demo with our calendar link. And I can also provide that as well if we need it, but happy to show anyone what's possible when you're becoming an expert in your data.
And you've actually done that with me. You've actually pulled up your dashboard and showed me some of the insights. It's just, you were just showing me stuff that you had already, it would even be more impressive if I can do it myself and pull up data that I wanted.
Not exactly.
Something that you're showing me, but it's stuff that I'm looking for or that I've created. I think people are going to be so excited about what you guys have to offer.
Yeah.
Well, Ben, thank you again for today. Great insight. I probably will try and schedule another updated podcast with you just to kind of, because even from the time we talked at Aesthetic Next, which was only what, a month and a half ago, I knew you're already doing new things.
No, definitely. And we'll be around at some of the major industry conferences. I know we're going out to AmSpa in April. We're going to be exhibiting there. So looking forward to connecting with you again, Bill, and then looking forward to connecting with other industry leaders.
Super. Everybody have a great day, and I hope you find a lot of value, and definitely reach out to Ben.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks for joining us for the MedShark Insider with Bill Fukui. Join us next week for another dive into all things medical marketing. All episodes can be streamed at www.medsharkdigital.com/medshark-insider.